In his best-selling book, The God Delusion, Richard Dawkins claims to have shown that God almost certainly does not exist. He refers to this argument as the ultimate Boeing 747 gambit. This name is based on a remark made by the cosmologist Fred Hoyle that the probability of life originating on Earth is no greater than the probability of a hurricane assembling a Boeing 747 in a scrapyard. This illustration is often used to show that just as a Boeing 747 points to a designer, so too does the existence of life. Now, Richard Dawkins attempts to turn this argument on its head. According to his 747 gambit, or the argument from improbability, as it's also known, God is even more complex, and so God's existence is even more improbable than a Boeing 747 coming about by chance. He puts it like this: however statistically improbable the entity you seek to explain by invoking a designer, the designer himself has got to be at least as improbable. God is the ultimate Boeing 747. Now, Dawkins' idea is interesting from a couple of points of view. First of all, his argument's based on what he thinks God would be like if he exists. Some people claim that the very concept of God is meaningless, but Dawkins disagrees. By making claims about what God would be like, he takes the idea of God seriously. Of course, he doesn't believe that God actually exists, but he thinks the idea itself is coherent. A second point is that sometimes debates about the existence of God amount to little more than people stating their own opinions very loudly, rather than presenting arguments. But in this case, Dawkins provides a very clear argument, and all of us, whether we believe in God or not, can evaluate it to see whether it stands up to scrutiny. I'm going to argue that it doesn't. In a nutshell, the argument tries to establish that God's existence is very improbable because, first of all, God, if he exists, would be very complex, and secondly, because complex things are very improbable. So we need to consider two things to evaluate the argument. First of all, we need to ask whether God has the right kind of complexity. And secondly, we need to look at the way in which Dawkins links complexity and improbability. On the first point, Dawkins says that a God capable of continuously monitoring and controlling the individual status of every particle in the universe cannot be simple. Here we need to be careful about the words simple and complex. The problem is that it isn't enough for Dawkins to say that God would be complex in some sense of the word. Remember, the whole point of the argument is to link complexity with improbability, so he would need to show that God is complex in the relevant sense. And the kind of complexity Dawkins has in mind here is what he calls organized complexity. Roughly speaking, an entity is organized complexity if it's composed of a variety of separable interacting parts arranged in a highly specific manner so that it can function. So a Boeing 747 provides an example. All of the components have to be arranged in the right way for it to function. So the question is not merely whether God would be complex, but whether God would have organized complexity. Dawkins' assertion that God would be complex amounts to saying that God would be comprised of a variety of interacting parts. But what are these parts supposed to be? He doesn't tell us. Perhaps it's all the ideas in God's mind. But the problem with this is that ideas aren't separable parts which combine together to constitute a mind. In fact, the ideas are dependent on the mind. So on this first issue, Dawkins hasn't provided any reason to believe that God has organized complexity. Now let's think about the second issue, the link between complexity and improbability. Dawkins' idea is that complex things are improbable. Well, are complexity and improbability connected in this way? Dawkins says that the argument from improbability states that complex things could not have come about by chance. This seems right, since, to take the Boeing 747 as an example again, it's certainly very improbable that it would come about by chance. So there does seem to be a link between complexity and improbability. But notice that the argument doesn't tell us that the Boeing 747 is improbable, just that it's improbable that it would come about by chance. And in the same way, if we were to grant Dawkins' claim that God would have organized complexity, it would only follow that it's improbable that God came about by chance. But since no believers think that God came about by chance anyway, they'd hardly be worried by such a conclusion. So Dawkins' argument fails on both counts. First, he has given us no good reason to think that God would have organized complexity. And secondly, even if God did have organized complexity, it still doesn't follow that God's existence is improbable. Only that it's improbable that God came about by chance. But there's a further problem for Dawkins' argument as well. Let's just pretend for a moment that Dawkins is right, that God's existence is very improbable. The difficulty is that we need to distinguish between the probability before all the evidence has been taken into account and the probability afterwards. If Dawkins' argument worked, it would only establish that God's existence is improbable before the evidence has been considered. Yet a belief can be very improbable before relevant evidence has been considered and highly probable afterwards. Here's an illustration. Suppose my friend Tom enters the lottery every week, and that this week's winning numbers have just been announced. What's the probability that Tom has hit the jackpot? Well, let's say it's 1 in 10 million, just for the sake of argument. But the next day Tom arrives at my house, he's driving a brand new top-of-the-range BMW, he tells me that his numbers came up. Then he shows me a newspaper, which is a picture of him receiving the cheque, and later on I see him on TV. And so all the evidence confirms his story. Well, what's the probability that he won now that all the evidence has been taken into account? Well, it's extremely high. In fact, I can be virtually certain that he did, in fact, hit the jackpot. Could something similar apply in God's case? Could it be that even if God's existence is improbable before relevant evidence is taken into account, it's highly probable afterwards? Dawkins will no doubt claim there's no evidence for God, but what's his reason for this? It's that God is even more complex and so more improbable than the evidence he's supposed to explain. We've already seen that there are problems with this line of reasoning, but think about Tom's case again. It would clearly be incorrect to exclude Tom's winning the lottery as a good explanation of the evidence, just because it was very improbable to start with. And in the same way, even if God's existence is improbable to start with, as Dawkins claims, this wouldn't be a good reason for excluding God as an explanation for various pieces of evidence. Evidence such as the fine-tuning of the physical constants, the order expressed in the laws of science, the evidence for the beginning of the universe, the existence of conscious beings, and the nature of morality. Now, it isn't my purpose in this talk to argue that these examples provide convincing reasons for belief in God, but to make two separate points. First, even if Dawkins had succeeded in showing that God's existence is improbable before the evidence is taken into account, that doesn't establish very much. It still could be highly probable afterwards. And second, that we can't simply rule God out as an explanation on the basis of his alleged improbability. So in conclusion, Richard Dawkins' argument from improbability is supposed to demonstrate that God almost certainly doesn't exist. He claims that God, if he existed, would be very complex, and as a consequence, his existence is very improbable. This argument is seriously flawed on a number of fronts. First of all, there is no good reason to think that God is complex in the relevant sense for Dawkins' argument to work. Secondly, his argument would at best only establish that it's very improbable that God came about by chance, which no one believes anyway. And finally, even if he were right, that doesn't exclude the possibility that God's existence is highly probable once all the evidence is taken into account. I haven't tried to present a positive argument for belief in God in this talk, but I think everyone who's serious about evaluating arguments should agree with me that this particular argument against God's existence fails.